You're listening to a podcast from 702.
The Worldview with Adam Gilchrist is brought to you by Emirates. Fly Emirates. Hello tomorrow.
And to London we go to speak to Adam Gilchrist. Good morning to you, Adam. A Syrian chemical attack. The US is warning Russia to stop backing the Assad regime.
Good morning, Bongani. Yes, we saw this or heard the details, didn't we, of the attack over the weekend, that it had moved beyond chlorine gas, some suggesting maybe it was sarin or VX that had been used in Douma, this rebel-held enclave outside of Damascus. America has suggested that if Russia continues to support that kind of action by the Assad regime, that means effectively that Russia is supporting crimes against humanity. But also, overnight, something has happened in that a Syrian military airport, a military base of some kind, has been hit by missiles. Putting two and two together, one might think it's the Americans, but they haven't said yet. Nobody has said yet who's responsible. But it looks like an attack on the kind of air base that would be used to launch such chemical weapons. So just as we think Syria might be getting a little bit simpler and easier to understand, it gets very complicated. Who's doing what to whom? We don't know.
And who's the devil and who's an angel? That's part of the complication. Now let's go to Japan, where an extraordinary father-son relationship has come to light. Caged in Japan? What's that about?
Yeah, this is a very odd story, very disturbing in some ways. But yes, an elderly man has been arrested, suspected of keeping his son in a wooden cage for over 20 years. A guy called Yoshitani Yamasaki said he locked up his son for his own good. He said his son had suffered mental problems and was sometimes violent. The son is now in his 40s, by the way, the father in his 70s. But the idea of keeping this man in a cage, a meter high, 2 meters wide, in a hut next to Mr. Yamasaki's house in the city of Sanda. Mr. Yamasaki says, you know, it was for his son's own good. He fed his son every day and allowed him to bathe every other day. Well, he may have thought that, of course, but it doesn't exactly excuse it. It's barbaric. The son, by the way, now having been kept in that cage, suffers from a bent back and is being looked after by the authorities. They have a lot to delve into with that case.
Goodness me. Yeah. That's what do you say to something like that? Now, we know this famous song by Simon and Garfunkel. They have been talking about the Prince of Wales Bridge over troubled water.
It could be. The troubled water being the River Severn. So it's the point where England and Wales don't have a land border. They cross over the river and there's already a Severn Bridge. And there's now a second crossing, which by the end of this year is going to be called the Prince of Wales Bridge. Sounds obvious enough, doesn't it? You know, it's, after all, linking Wales with England. The Prince of Wales is the good egg, etc. People are not happy. There's a huge online petition now saying, hang on a moment, we don't want this bridge named after Prince Charles, thank you very much. Although, it's not Charles, it is, after all, Prince of Wales. He is celebrating his 70th birthday and his 60 years as Prince of Wales. But this backlash has got 30,000 signatures now saying that actually they would like to have a name on a bridge for somebody who has achieved something in Wales. Which is a bit harsh, isn't it, on poor old Prince Charles? I mean, currently wearing grass skirts in Vanuatu and the Australian bush, I imagine he doesn't really want to come home to this bridge of nonsense, does he?
It's a bridge too far. Hamilton, the musical, scoops awards in London.
Yeah, big. I mean, this is a phenomenon, isn't it? It absolutely took Broadway by storm and it's doing likewise in the West End of London. And last night won 7 Olivier Awards. These are the big London equivalent of the Oscars or Tonys or whatever. It was up for 13, which was a record. But anyway, winning 7 means it's the joint most successful musical ever. It is an extraordinary thing about the American founding father, Alexander Hamilton, who ultimately also fought against the slave trade at a time when America wasn't entirely on board with that sort of stuff. Also because it fuses rap and hip-hop and pop, and it's a cross-genre sort of thing with a cast, I should say, which is 90-something percent black as well. Interesting as well, some of the black actors playing white characters. Imagine the other way around in this day and age. That'd be a bit odd, but maybe about time too. But it is an extraordinary phenomenon. It really is sweeping things, and ticket prices are very high. I don't entirely get it myself, but then I didn't get Evita, Cats, Wicked, or Les Miserables, so what do I know?
Adam Gilchrist on the line there from the UK. Now, every day on The Worldview, we ask you to send us a question on any world topic you might want to know more about. And today's question comes from Cheryl. @Cheryl_that's_me on Twitter. And Cheryl wants to know, how are country borders determined? #EmiratesWorldview. To get to the answer, we spoke to Jackie Salia, the head of African Futures and Innovation at the Institute for Security Studies.
Formed by geographical features like oceans and mountains and deserts. A second way in which borders were formed was through wars and conquests. So natural borders were often pushed back by ambitious leaders. A third way was through purchases. For example, the U.S. gradually expanded its territory by purchasing. The fourth and, for Africa, the most important way in which borders were established was through treaties. Now, all of us in Africa will remember the Berlin Conference of 1884 to 1885, in which, under the chairpersonship of Otto von Bismarck, Africa was largely divided between colonial powers, and that's what set Africa's borders apart. And that, of course, created huge, huge problems.
That we still live with to this day. Well, congratulations at Cheryl _ that's me for having your Emirates Worldview question answered. You've won R1,000, courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates, hello tomorrow.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072 702 1702 or #EmiratesWorldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on 702.co.za.
Alex, glad I caught you. Listen, I have big news. You got the promotion.
Sarah, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. You deserve it. It does involve a lot of traveling, but don't worry. The office is incredible. Fully reclining seat, Wi-Fi, built-in bar.
That's amazing. Where is it?
On board Emirates Business Class, the best office in the sky.
With flatbed seats and a host of features, Emirates Business Class is so much more than just business. Fly Emirates. Experience a new level of comfort.